Well, let me show you what for me was the most shocking photograph of the week. It's this one. This is, as I'm sure you know, the 750-year-old Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris on Monday night. And Anne, my wife, said to me on Monday night, Notre Dame is on fire. And there you can see fire raging in every part of the structure. It's as though the cross itself is on fire. And as I'm sure you saw, the citizens of Paris were drawn to the site as if by a magnet, as the infernal tore through their beloved cathedral. There they are. Some prayed, many wept. Others looked on just helplessly. This is an avowedly secular nation. I love Paris. I love the city of Paris. I've been there many times. I love walking by the River Seine. Especially I love walking around the Ile de la Cité, which is where Notre Dame is situated. And when I saw that photograph, the aerial photograph of Notre Dame on fire on Monday night, I thought, that place is finished. Nothing can survive that. I'm sure I'm not the only one who felt shocked. Maybe, actually, this is a very small taste, really, of maybe what those disciples felt on Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Of course, magnified many times over, those disciples, because they must have been overwhelmed with a sense of desolation and loss. Overwhelmed. They must have thought, there's nothing that can bring Jesus up back. The game is up. They'd seen him crucified. They'd seen a spear thrust into his side. They'd seen blood and serum pour out. There's no coming back from that. And many people here, probably most people here, know the pain of losing a loved one. But we can understand a little bit of what they're going through. But none of us, I'm sure, have experienced the shame of abandoning the one we love to be arrested, or of seeing him tortured to death over 6 hours. So if we're going to try and understand the mindset of those women who went to anoint the body of Jesus on Sunday morning, we're talking about people who were shocked and disorientated and maybe ashamed that they didn't do more. You know, when somebody dies, people always say they feel guilty. You know, often guilt comes after a death. But in this particular case, most of the disciples just left Jesus to it. Actually, some of those women were there at the very end, but most of them left Jesus to it and denied him. Their world had been turned upside down. It was about to be turned upside down again. And when you're full of grief and shame and remorse, and then somebody in white turns up and says, Jesus is risen, that's a lot to take on board all at once, isn't it? So I'm not surprised, as it says, they were trembling and bewildered and afraid. I'm not surprised it took them a while to go and tell the other disciples, because how do you process information like that? Actually, the original ending of Mark's gospel has been lost, but we know from the other gospels that as they ran away from the tomb, they met with Jesus, gloriously raised from the dead, and he told them to go and tell the other disciples, and suddenly the pain and grief and shame was lifted. They had a story to tell, a glorious, wonderful news to pass on. Jesus was alive. And if you'll forgive the comparison, it was a little bit like Notre Dame on Tuesday morning. Because we now know the cathedral was within 15 minutes of total destruction. Only the bravery of the firefighters who fought through the night to save it stopped it being completely gutted. Precious artifacts were removed safely. The cathedral can be repaired and rebuilt. And on Tuesday morning, we saw this photograph. Did anyone see this photograph? There's the cross that David's already shown us in front of the cathedral, surrounded by smoldering embers, but illuminated by a shaft of morning sunlight. And Pauline, who read God's Word to us this morning, she emailed me in the week and she said she was in M&S the day after this, the fire, or 2 days after the fire, and she caught sight of the newsstand, all the papers there, and she said to me this, she said, that picture was on the front page of every newspaper today, and it was quite staggering to think how such a terrible event had propelled the cross in spectacular glory into such prominence at this Easter time. And she said, not only was I captivated by it, I watched and saw people just looking at it in a moment of quiet, almost reverent stillness. Isn't that astonishing? people gathered around the newspaper stand in the middle of a supermarket by the cross. Astonishing, astonishing. The building will be resurrected out of the ashes, and it's the cross that stands out and points the way to resurrection. But the good news is, Jesus didn't die for buildings. He died for you and me. But sometimes it's really hard to grasp the truth of that, isn't it? Really hard. Have you ever felt life wasn't worth living anymore? You're so full of shame and guilt that maybe even death wouldn't be such a bad alternative. Jesus died to take all that shame and guilt on himself and promised us in return not death, but abundant life. All we need to do is turn away from the wrong things we've done and put our trust in him. But someone might reply, well, you could do that, but I can't do that. Because you see, I'm carrying too much pain and guilt and shame. I can't see a way back. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if there were one or two people who feel that even this morning, this bright, sunny, beautiful Easter morning, like it's Easter for everyone else, but not for me. And I believe what the Lord says to you this morning is, look at Notre Dame. When you look at the cathedral burning on Monday, it seemed like there was no way back. But on Tuesday, it was a different story. You see, the past takes its toll, but there's a future. There's a future for that building, and there's a future for you if you put your trust in Jesus. It's no wonder it was difficult for the women to get their heads around it, because they were in the midst of grief and shame and sorrow. Because when you're going through Good Friday, you can't see that Sunday's coming. If someone had said to me on Good Friday, you know, Jesus promised he'd be coming back, in my shame and guilt of abandoning him, I would have said, you must be joking. There's no comeback from that. But there was. It was true then, and it's just as true 2,000 years later. So where are each one of us here this Easter morning with Jesus? Some of us are on Easter day full of the glory of the resurrection. Some of us just can't re-see it. You come to church this morning, but you're not sure about this stuff. You're not sure how much of this stuff is true or if the resurrection could ever mean anything to you. Let me say this. Jesus really is alive. He really is alive. And this is what God is saying to us this morning. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. Those were promises made to the people of Israel 700 years before Jesus was born. But they're still true for us today. A double portion is a poetic way of saying, you are my firstborn son. You are my most favored daughter. You see how the Lord takes us from shame and sin and turns us into his firstborn child? And all we have to do is say yes to him. So how can we say yes to him? Well, in a moment, we're going to share bread and wine. Coming up and receiving bread and wine, trusting in Jesus, is a way of saying, I'm up for this, Jesus. I trust you. I want you to be Lord of my life. So as you come up to receive bread and wine, why don't you say quietly to the Lord, I give my life to you. Please accept me. And of course he will. At the end of the service, we'll have a prayer ministry team. We'd love you to come up and find them. They'll be here afterwards. Please come and find them. They'd love to pray with you. But you might say, I need to know a bit more. I've got some little booklets here. Great little booklets. There's one called Why Jesus? Read by probably millions of people now. A great one here, What is Easter, the Easter Story? I'll be standing by the door to hand these out at the end. And there's a great one here for people who just don't know about any of this stuff. It's called Try Praying. Those are stories about people who tried praying and how God really met them. If you've never spoken to Jesus before, or it's been a long while, I'm going to say a prayer now. And why don't you just pray this prayer in your hearts? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done, the wrong things that I've done in my life. Please forgive me. And I turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Lord, thank you that whatever has happened in the past, whatever shame I felt, thank you, Lord, that you took that shame away and I now know freedom and abundant life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.